Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. Rodeo is always in full swing in Native America. On today's show, we're highlighting Native rodeo athletes and the life they lead. What rodeos do you make sure you never miss? Who's your favorite Native cowboy or cowgirl? And if you're not one to jump into the rodeo arena, what questions do you have about rodeo life? We'll be ready to answer your questions right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. An effort in Rapid City, South Dakota is working to improve race relations. The city has seen racial tensions increase in recent months following a police shooting of a Lakota man and an incident where a group of non-natives are accused of shouting racial slurs and throwing beer on Lakota children at a hockey game. The new effort is tied to a group called Community Conversations. It includes a coalition of individuals and organizations working to build relationships across cultures and find new solutions to long-standing divisions. Charles Michael Ray has more.
At a press conference in Rapid City's Memorial Park, leaders of the Native American community stood beside leaders from the Chamber of Commerce, Regional Health, and the Rapid City Police Department, along with a host of other organizations. Scott Means, an educator who is Lakota and Hopi, has lived and worked in Rapid City for 21 years. Means says he's happy to see this new effort take hold following many years of struggle against racism in Rapid City.
We've marched on the city in the past, Lakota people. We've taken up arms. We've been in courts. Today is an evolution from those times. We're moving forward in our lives by asking people to come to the table and let's create something. What? It's up to us as a community.
The board chair of the Chamber of Commerce, Marnie Herman, announced a new chamber resolution supporting diversity, dialogue, and respect. The president of the Rapid City Regional Hospital, Mick Gibbs, expressed hope in creating a new positive future where all cultures are respected and admired. Karen Mortimer with the Rapid City Public Schools Foundation and the Ochete Sakowin Ambassadors says this is just the beginning of the effort as the work to build positive relationships continues. This week in Rapid City, the trial of Trace O'Connell could lead to another spike in racial tension. O'Connell is charged with disorderly conduct after he allegedly threw beer and uttered racial slurs at a group of Lakota children during a hockey game in January. Those with the Community Conversation Group say the new local effort is in part a response to this incident. They say positive outcomes and improved race relations can be found in the long term. I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Mohawk First Nations in Canada recently marched to remember 25 years since the standoff between them and soldiers, which caught worldwide attention. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
Dozens of people marched during the July weekend, taking the same path in Kanesatagi they barricaded 25 years ago to protest plans to build a golf course on land they claimed as their own. The crisis began on July 11, 1990, with a shootout in which a Quebec police officer was killed. The army was called in. The crisis was finally resolved peacefully 78 days later. The golf course was not built. But Ellen Gabriel, an activist and the spokeswoman for the Mohawks 25 years ago, says today nothing has changed.
We are still struggling for the same issue. We have lost more land in Ganasadage than we had 25 years ago. And so the struggle is there.
Other Native leaders from the region say no Native land was given up. But the land all around the disputed golf course is again under threat from developers. Joe Norton is the Grand Chief of the nearby Ganawage First Nation. He too says little has changed, especially from Canadian government leaders.
The government is resistant, just dug its heels in, you know, doesn't want to recognize court rulings, doesn't care about those things, you know, and just keeps pushing its agenda. Whatever's going to happen positively for us is that we have to do it on our own.
But the weekend also stirred some strong emotions and memories for those who were present during the crisis 25 years ago. On a more positive note, locally, Native and non-Native leaders say they're working together to fight any development on disputed land. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by United Tribes Technical College, offering courses online for a career in medical coding and for updating your current coding certification. Registration available through August 10th online at uttc.edu. Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Over the years, the sport of rodeo has evolved from the everyday, real-life ranching tasks, like tying down cattle for branding and breaking horses. The sport of rodeo today is centered on speed, accuracy, and the reaction of the animals. And this athletic sport has a wide range of events, including steer wrestling, barrel racing, tie down, team roping, and bull riding. And what about the kids, you ask? While there is a place for them too, they often start out mutton busting, which is simply riding sheep, as well as they get into the rodeo world also by roping dummies. And rodeo is a culture and a way of life. And just like other sports arenas, there are Native athletes making waves and taking titles. Today, we're going to explore a bit of their world through the stories of a few Native cowboys and cowgirls. And we want to hear from you, too. Do you rodeo? Are you in the rodeo? Are you on the rodeo trail right now? Or are you retired? And what is it like to be on that end of things? Also, are you teaching your children the art of riding bucking broncos? Well, you can give us a call, too, and tell us what rodeo means to you. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And joining us live from the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association Rodeo in Plentywood, Montana, is Randy Taylor. And he's a Cherokee cowboy and pro announcer. And he's also Choctaw. And you may know his name because it's etched on championship buckles from the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo and the Pendleton Roundup. Among other buckles, he's won from his time as a bareback bronc rider and bull rider. It's our pleasure to welcome Randy to the hour. Hello, Randy.
Hello, Tara. How are you today?
I'm doing good, and thank you for being with us. And we want to know more about rodeo, Randy, and I understand you are one of the fellows to tell us all about it. So let's start with talking a little bit about your own career. Tell us about some of the buckles that you've won.
Well, it started in Oklahoma as a youngster, and I went to a rodeo with my great-grandfather Taylor in Salisaw, Oklahoma, and a bull ran by, and he goosed me in the ribs, and it scared me, and it created a... an adrenaline rush that is kind of still I'm passionate about today. I've started, like many of the cowboys, through a junior rodeo association and up through the high school ranks, and I was privileged to obtain a wrestling and rodeo scholarship at the University of Wyoming in Laramie, and then from there went on and participated in the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. In a few short sentences, I speak of probably millions of miles from as far south as Australia to, and then here on this continent from Kamloops or British Columbia to Kissimmee, Florida, and as you mentioned, Pendleton, and the daddy of them all, like's going on today, and Cheyenne, Wyoming. And it's certainly a nomadic sport that is a lot of fun, and sometimes you will drive and fly 18, 22, 6 hours to participate in an eight-second contest. My granddad thought it was crazy, and it certainly is. And I still enjoy it today as a retired bareback bronc rider.
Very nice. And any of you Randy Taylor fans out there, you just want to call in,
give him a shout out or let him know about what his writing has meant to you over the years, please do call in. Give us a call at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Randy, when you think back at your career, you know, what would you say is one of the most valuable lessons you've learned?
Humility. A bareback bucking horse or a bull doesn't care who you are, if you have a buckle on, who you think you are. You know, you're in his world and in his space. And if you make a mistake, even though it is an honest mistake, it can be very painful and certainly costly. I think humility, getting bucked off in front of lots of people, especially in a hometown area, is, it's humbling, no doubt.
And Randy, for those folks who might not know, what bareback riding is all about, what would you say is the objective?
The objective is to get in time and rhythm with an animal that is much larger than you are. The bucking horses weigh anywhere from 800 to, some of them we've seen draft horses be huge, as big as bulls at, 2,000. The objective is to utilize the art and the technique of riding bucking horses. And it is a technique and an art that goes back for centuries. Some of the great horse nations were known across the world as being the best riders, especially in a bareback form. It involves balance, and of course, they were running to hunt and fight and game and war, were bucking horse, but they still had to break the horses. So I'm confident that the art of riding bareback bucking horses, jumping up and kicking and dropping out of the sky and swooping from side to side, is a talent that is certainly acquired through dedicated effort. Even just a normal horse rider, if you don't get on a horse for 20 years and you gain 20 pounds, it's a big difference if you're just on a regular riding horse, much less an animal that has full intention of getting you off their back and putting you on the ground. Though I think their intentions sometimes are the enjoyment of jumping high and kicking hard and bucking. So between the horse and the animal, there seems to be a relationship and a synchronization of the art with the horse and the rider.
All right. Thanks for explaining that, Randy. And, we also want to know what rodeo means to you. Today, we are taking a moment to learn a little bit more about rodeo and actually what it takes to be a rodeo athlete. Give us a call. Share your thoughts on this topic. And you can also tell us what rodeo means to maybe your whole family. Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go to our first caller. We have Chandi in Mandaree, North Dakota, tuned in on KMHA. Chandi, welcome to the hour.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just heard Randy talking there, and he knows who we are. My family, he announced we had a memorial for my grandpa's here in June for the Chase brothers. They're pretty well known. Joe Chase made the NFR, his dad rode Bronx, and my grandpa Emerson had bucking horses, and Emmanuel had a lot of credit for starting a lot of cowboys around here. A lot of good Bronx riders out of this country, Fort Berthold. And I was just wanting to let people know my son won the National Junior High Ribbon Roping title about 3 weeks ago, and we're pretty proud of him. Randy might have heard about it. Don't know, but it's been a family tradition. He's up in Canada right now. He did pretty good in standoff. He's made the short round and the team open, calf roping. And these are adults. He's 15 years old, so he made it hanging in there with adults, and then made his money back anyway. Made a couple thousand up there so far. Getting ready to head to Sioux Tina. So,
right on. And Chandi, what is his name?
Jesse Chase. Jesse Chase. I grew up in Mandaree, North Dakota, in the Badlands there. And Randy might even be able to tell you a little bit about him, but that's. Just kind of thought I was pretty good. You heard your show on the radio, and hopefully, I hope in Jeff and kind of set an example for some more up and coming people. I know he is for his little sister. She runs barrels and starting to rope, breakaway rope a little bit, and few other, a lot of ropers around here. Hopefully we can keep it going and get some more bronc riders again and calf ropers. So.
Right on. Keep it going. Thank you for your call, Chandi. Our best to your son and safe travels as he continues to make it around the nation and some of these rodeos. And if you also have somebody who's on the rodeo trail you want to tell us about, give them a shout out. Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Randy, anything to add?
Absolutely. We had the privilege of honoring the Chase family. As he mentioned, his grandfathers, Emmanuel and Joe Chase, and the other one, the other brother, and now they carry on a tradition that is about three or four generations strong in the sport of rodeo. And this week, we go back up where to the land of the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikaraw. In the Newtown, North Dakota, and the Four Bears Casino will sponsor the Adrian Foote Memorial Rodeo. That'll be sanctioned by the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association August 1st. And that is a strong tradition, as you see. It's so family involved, and it's a beautiful thing. When you see a family show up and dad's participating in the roping and the kids are in the dummy roping, and as Justin McDaniel will tell you, we're seeking youngsters to continue the art of riding bareback bucking horses. And it is a privilege to participate up there in the Fort Berthold Indian Reservation, which I'll be stopping by here in a couple of days after I get done with Plentywood and drop off sound and go to do some more events and come back and set up for the Adrian Foote Memorial August 1st. So it's fun to hear from Tennessee. Hello back at you to the Fort Berthold there at KMHA.
Very nice. And Randy, why is it important for us to, you know, recognize our native rodeo stars?
Well, because of the effort that they put forth, and they got out of their comfort zone and stepped out and traveled. And they, to be able to do that, you had to really dig inside yourself and develop an art, whether it be tie-down roping or riding bareback bucking horses or saddle broncs or bulls. And as I mentioned, you have experienced some humility to get to the level where you get up and get out and go and travel. I think that it is important that people study and do good in school and give 100% of their jobs, because if you want to do this, you need to be able to make plane reservations and communicate intelligently and wheel and deal with taxi drivers and for everything from entering rodeos to the logistics of travel. And it's very important. And working a job is extremely important because, as I mentioned, humility again, sometimes you're going to have a weekend where you don't win a dime and you're going to have to be able to go back and you hope that your boss will say, well, you know, you're coming back to work for me. I want you to work for me because when you're here, you are a good, responsible individual and I want you at my workplace. If you go slough off and show up late and this and that, you know, he's not. I always had a good job that somebody would let me come and go as I pleased, and they were glad to have me back, and my dad suggested that sort of work ethic, and it helped.
Thanks, Randy. And, you know, it does take a lot of maneuvering to sometimes follow your dream or your passion, especially if it is rodeo. And if you have a story to share, please do call in. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. And maybe you're retired now and you were a rodeo athlete in the past. You can call in too and share your golden moment. Our number again, 1-800-996-2848. And Randy, you definitely keep connected to folks out there in Native America. You have a radio program on Native Voice One. It's called Word with a Champ. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, and it's a pleasure to serve and an honor with that opportunity. Bert Poley, a man that was managing, one of the managers, along with Nola Daves Moses, helped me develop this program. It started long ago when I was at the University of Wyoming, and I took a broadcasting class on a whim and enjoyed it, and I'm making a living at it today, announcing and have that radio program. My mission statement is actually, personally, to recruit bareback bronc riders. I mean, if you consider that art and a choice of 7 events in rodeo, your odds of winning money or winning points for a university are very good. Many times there's 80 ropers and, you know, 38, 40 used to be 80 bull riders. and nine, now there's nine or so bareback bronc riders, where you obtain the same points for that college or university on that team. And if you can learn how to pick up a rope or work another event, you're a valuable asset and can actually earn your college education through the sport of rodeo, and particularly the bareback bronc riding. But the overview of positive programming, I think, has a more it has a bigger responsibility, and not everybody wants to ride bareback bucking horses. So I have attempted to interview people in and around sports, from Tandy Freeman, a world-class surgeon that has made a big difference in many people's lives, to people that are in the band. And if someone finds something that they enjoy, I just want them to, of course, we're directing our efforts at youth. We want to be entertaining with Word with a Champ on Native Voice One for everyone. But I think the mission statement goes back to providing some programming to maybe acquire an idea for somebody to instill and have them maybe find something that they really enjoy and are passionate about and pursue, as the broadcasting class that I had. Someone, you know, provided an encouraging word for me in that, and here I am years later raising a family. Since that particular Dr. McDonald was his name, a professor said, hey, you know, you should pursue this. So a little bit of encouragement and an idea turned into an opportunity for me. And that's kind of what we try to achieve with Word with a Champ.
Very nice. And Randy, you know, you falling into radio is almost kind of how you fell into rodeo announcing, I understand.
Yes, ma'am. And it even has opened doors for me in other areas. Dad was a dirt track sprint car racing driver. And so I grew up with horsepower in another sense, and he went round and round, and I didn't like, well, quite honestly, I didn't like the grease on my hands and the mechanical aspect of it. It was not my forte. I like horses and livestock. So Dad went round and round, and I went up and down. And so as a result, years later, I announced rodeo and motorsports. I just recently was in Turkey on a monster truck tour, which was a great experience. We were in 11 markets in Europe in the past 2 years, including Moscow and several big markets in Poland and Latvia and Lithuania. So that has provided opportunities for me to see the world, which there again, something that someone encouraged me to do when I was 18.
Wow. You know, our paths and lives, you know, when we follow it and get to those places where we feel comfortable, I think it is truly a great thing. And Randy, it sounds like you're in the right place, too. We're going to continue chatting with Randy Taylor here on our program. And he is also the creator of Word with the Champ, and it is featured on Native Voice One. If you're interested, you can find it there. But we're also going to continue to learn a little bit more about rodeo culture. If there's something you would like to add, please do call in. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And, you know, what rodeo event do you look forward to? You can call in and tell us about that, too. And if you have a favorite Native cowboy or cowgirl that you like to watch, go ahead, give them a shout-out over our Native airwaves. Phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go now to Gallup, New Mexico. We're going to bring in Patricia, who is connecting to us today on KGLP. Patricia, welcome to the hour.
Thank you.
And what are you wondering or wanting to tell Native America?
Yeah, well, I have a question. I've been a big rodeo fan, and I love the Time Meridian Invitational here. I travel to Albuquerque. But I often get the question, you know, from friends, you know, it's animal abuse. How do you guys deal with the animal activists out there that have to deal with, you know, the bull riders, the horses, especially the, you know, the ropers? But again, I am a big fan. I just don't know how you guys handle that situation and that question.
All right, Patricia.
I have nephews who are in that field, so.
Good question, Patricia. Go ahead, Randy.
That is a great question, Patricia, and thank you for calling in. And I love the Tingley Coliseum down there in Albuquerque. The way to deal with animal activists is be straightforward. Education is the prime ingredient that allows people to understand what is happening. I mean, these horses and bulls were bred. They want to jump high, and they want to kick hard. And if you eliminate them or their opportunity to do that, it would break their heart, like not allowing a hunting dog to go hunt. I mean, that's what they want to do. We are in domain over the beast. The Lord gave us the privilege of being in domain over the beast of the field, the fish of the sea, and the birds of the sky. And we must take that responsibility seriously. And to have these animals that are in the tie-down roping, train them and train the cowboys to perfect the art, the traditional art of working cattle, whether it be tie-down roping or team roping, that is great. The same with the running horses, the ladies in the barrel racing. You know, those horses, that's what they want to do. A horse wants to run. That's his most instinctual thing that he can do. And when people are picketing or objecting to what we are utilizing with what the good Lord gave us, then I think they're usually many times misinformed. I think those people are very important in our world. There are some people in God's creation that abuse animals, and that needs to be stopped. But as far as the sport of rodeo, especially in the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, the Women's Professional Rodeo Association, that have big sponsors like Wrangler Jeans and Shirts and Justin Boot Company, I mean, they're not going to tag their name on something that is anything but beneficial to the animals of Mother Earth. So we have to just be straightforward and take the opportunity to educate them and bring them to the ranch and explain to them what we're doing, or take them to the rodeo and say, here's how it's done, and here is the consequences if you do not deal with this.
And Randy, you know, when we do talk about that, is there ever a time to just remind folks that, you know, we do need to treat animals good?
Every time you're near one. When one of them, steps on your foot and hurts you, or you make the mistake of allowing that animal. Now, whose fault was that? Was that your fault, or was that animal's fault that he stepped on your foot? You know what I mean? It's just you try to instill in your children patience and kindness into young men to be gentlemen and young girls to be ladies. I mean, it all comes back to mom and dad and the way you treat people and the way you treat animals, is my opinion.
All right. Thanks for that, Randy. And we're going to continue with this conversation here. If you just tuned in, well, you have found Native America Calling. And every weekday, we invite you to a conversation where you can connect with Native America on over 60 stations across the U.S. And today, we are talking about rodeo culture. On the line with us today, we have Randy Taylor, and he is joining us from the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association Rodeo in Plentywood, Montana. And you might know him as an announcer, you might know him as a champion, and you might know him as a radio personality with his program Word with a Champ. We're going to continue with this. If you got any questions for Randy, you can call in. He's going to be with us the full hour. And after the break, we are going to connect with some Native American cowboys and cowgirls. And if you want to be one of them to tell us what you're thinking, please do call in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. Farmers across the country are getting older. Who will take their place on the land when they're gone? I'm Tara Gatewood, host of Native America Calling. Join us next time for a conversation about the next generation of farmers and ranchers. You can also call in to share your own thoughts on the future of agriculture in our Native nations.
I'm Nathan. My job gave me a lot. It gave me an income to support my family. It gave me purpose and pride. But the secondhand smoke there triggered my severe asthma attacks, infections, and lung damage. And I never smoked. It was so bad that my doctor told me I shouldn't work there anymore. I had to quit my job. But the damage was done. Now I'm so sick, I can't do much of anything I used to love to do. I don't referee youth basketball anymore. I don't run or lift weights. It's too much for my body to take. Instead, I'm taking breathing treatments or oxygen. I guess you could say my job gave me a lot. So let me give you a tip. Don't let people tell you that working around secondhand smoke is safe.
Smoking affects more than just your health. If you or someone you know wants free help to quit smoking, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. And is rodeo culture your way of life? Well, for these athletes, we hear that rodeo is something that takes a lot of work. And for many, it's a profession. And being a cowboy or cowgirl means devoting time to the road to get to the next rodeo, as Randy Taylor, our guest, shared earlier. It also means spending money for gas, entry fees, hay for the horses. And at times, it also means injuries and pain, but also getting back up on the horse once you were tossed, dragged, or even trampled by. And today, we are putting the spotlight on a few Native rodeo athletes who are taking a moment to talk with us between their rodeo events to find out what makes them tick and why rodeo culture draws them in. And you can also chime into this conversation, too. How do you connect to rodeo culture? If it's something you did in the past, you can call in and talk about that too. Or maybe you have a family member who is on the rodeo circuit now. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And if there's a rodeo going on in your community too, tell us about it by calling in. Who or what are you looking forward to seeing in the arena? And of course, why? 1-800-996-2848. 2848. Today with us, we have Cherokee Cowboy and Pro Announcer Randy Taylor, and he is also Choctaw, and he is joining us from the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association Rodeo in Plentywood, Montana. It's our pleasure to welcome him back, and we're going to go ahead and bring in some more calls. Let's go now to Dub, who is in Mission, South Dakota, tuned in on KOYA. Dub, welcome to the hour.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and a big shout out to you and Randy and everything of helping bring our Native Indian cowboys into the limelight and everything today.
All right, and are there any that you want to tell us about?
Well, I know Randy. My wife personally knows him. Her knows Randy, and her name's Ruth Brown Wright. And I had a. Oh, a year ago, Randy, he was an announcer over here in Porcupine, South Dakota, and my little guy, he rode a calf riding over there, and he told Randy, he said, hey, he said, tell him, he said, Mom, tell him I'm riding for Lane Frost. So Randy, he announces it. Lane Frost is one of his heroes and everything, and so Randy, he announces it and everything, and he comes out, and he gets knocked off his little calf and everything, but Lord behold, we put him on again this year, and this past Saturday, he won first place at in Martin, South Dakota. They had the open rodeo in memory of, oh, I can't think of his name, and he won first place, but which was a great pleasure to me and his stepmother there, taking him and putting him on, and there is a big gap that we lost through our rodeo profession. We got all the cowboys that are old our age, and now we don't have none of our young cowboys and cowgirls coming up, and I think we need to do a little more bringing up our youth into the rodeo because it teaches them a lot of self-respect and everything in the rodeo world.
All right, Dub, thank you for your call there in Mission, South Dakota. Let's go now to Fort Berthold. We're going to go ahead and bring in Guy, who is connecting to us today in North Dakota on KMHA. Guy, thank you for your call. And what would you like to share? Hello, Guy, you're on air. Looks like we got a connection issue. Let's see if we can get him in clearly. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we also have our social media open. I'm looking at it right now. If you want to tweet us something, give us a call, 1-800, or tweet it out at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Well, you know what? Let's meet some of the folks who are on the circuit. I'd like to go ahead and introduce, joining us from McDermott, Nevada, is Victoria Jackson. She is the 2014 World Champion Steer Stomper for the Western States Ranch Rodeo Association. She's also the editor and producer of the Timok Tribe of Western Shoshone newspaper. And Victoria is enrolled at the Fort McDermott Paiute Shoshone Tribes of Nevada and Oregon. Hello, Victoria.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're doing good, and thanks for being with us. And Victoria, we also have Justin McDaniel on the line from Muskogee, Oklahoma, and he is a world champion bareback rider, and he's Cherokee. Welcome to the hour, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, you know, thank you for being with us, and, you know, we want to hear it straight from you guys. You guys are on the circuit, out there doing this, and Randy has laid a good foundation for us to understand a little bit more about rodeo culture in Native America. And Victoria, let's start with you. You know, what is it all about?
Well, I'm involved in the Ranch Rodeo Association, which is a little bit different than the Pro Rodeo Association and the Indian Rodeo Association. The basis for the Western States Ranch Rodeo Association is for day working and ranching cowboys who don't always get to cowboy full time to have an association for themselves. And we do a lot of our events like team branding and calf doctoring, and it follows what we really do in real life out on the ranches. So it's just a little bit different, but it's a lot of fun and it's real enjoyable.
Thanks for that, Victoria. And Justin, anything to add, you know, to give us more perspective on what rodeo culture is all about?
For me, you know, it's just been my passion. I've been rodeoing since I was 4 years old. I don't ever really remember a time seeing it and wanting to do it. It was something that was kind of instilled in me from a child, and it's all that I've ever known that I wanted to do. And I've been doing it ever since. I love every bit of it. So it's given me everything that I have today.
And Justin, it's also, you know, given you a couple of titles. Share with our folks, you know, some of the places where, you know, your athleticism has been highlighted and you've been, you know, taking a title.
I've competed at the NFR, the National Finals Rodeo, 6 times. I've won the average title twice there. I hold the arena record there with 91.5 points. And I won a world championship in 2008. And those are kind of some that stand out to me anyways.
Well, congratulations on that, Justin. And, you know, what do titles mean? You know, is that something that, you know, gets people to follow you more? Or is it just reminders of, you know, those great moments on the rodeo trail? What would you say?
Well, to me, it was, you know, it means you achieve something. And I've achieved every goal I set for myself, and you know, you work hard for it. Like I said, I've been riding since I was 4 years old, and training, you know, day in, day out, and all the ups and downs and the breaks, and you know, like Randy was talking about earlier, it's a tough sport, and to finally achieve those goals and those titles, it, you know, it makes it all worthwhile.
All right, thanks, Justin. And Victoria, any proud moments you would like to share?
Oh, well, definitely when I finally won the world title this year. I come from a family that's done INFR. They've qualified, and I have some cousins that have taken a ranch rodeo title down in Amarillo, and the couple cousins who won the Jordan Valley Big Loop. So for me to get any title whatsoever, you know, being a native in this association and in these ranching communities is a big highlight to my little career.
And tell us a little bit more about how you got involved in all of this.
Oh, well, honestly, I didn't really start actually rodeoing until I was about a junior in high school. And what we always did was my uncle had a ranch down in Pyramid Lake in Nevada outside of Reno. And my dad would take me down there to go buckaroo and push cows and help brand and do all that. And I fell in love with being out on the desert, taking, I don't know, 20-mile rides a day and pushing cows. And to me, that was great. And then when I finally started rodeoing, honestly, I didn't think much of it because my dad started me breakaway roping. And I asked him flat out, what's the point of this? You let your rope go. You know, when we're out on the desert, if you let your cow go, you have to work 20 times harder. And but he got me into it, and he started training me a little harder and getting me more into the sport. And I really, you know, enjoyed it, the hard work. And I had nothing else to do because I was going to drop out of high school had he not had me start rodeoing. Then when they started the steer stopping, actually Winnemucca Ranch Rodeo over here in Nevada started the steer stopping part. And I'm like, hey, I can do this. You know, this is a great event for the girls, and, you know, I'm capable. I know I can. And it was a great start to what the association ended up putting as one of the main events.
And Victoria, you mentioned a couple of terms there, buckarooing and ranch rodeo. Tell us a little bit more about what those are exactly.
Well, buckarooing, it's more to the Great Basin region over here in Nevada, southern Idaho, Utah-ish area, and Oregon, of course. And really what it is, it's just a different type of style of cowboying because you know, down in Arizona, they have the cow punchers, and, you know, there's cowboys up north. And, well, the buckaroos, they're known for wearing the flat hats, but a lot of it is to do with flashiness, the way that they train their horses, the big silver bridles, and, you know, having that good low-stress cattle handling skills. And that's what a lot of the buckaroos is about. And the ranch rodeo, you know, it just has to do, like I said earlier, to do with what we do every day when we're working out at the ranch. You know, the events are more incorporated to there. Yes, we still do team roping, but we get to pretty much just showcase our skills when we go out in the arena during the different ranch rodeo events.
And what do you think about, you know, some of these events that people are being highlighted for actually come from, you know, as you said, you know, real work? Does that ever amaze you that when you're out there doing real work that you're also thinking, well, you know, there's somebody in an arena this weekend that may be in an arena this weekend who's being highlighted for that. Does that ever intrigue you?
Oh, definitely. I've grown up with some of the best cowboys that I've ever known who have moved it from the ranch into the arena. There's a few guys from up in Owyhee, north of where I live in Elko, and they're just amazing when it comes to any of the events because it's like they just take it straight from their fields where they're doctoring cattle at, you know, into the arena. And it's just, it's amazing to see how much flashier they get in the arena and how much prettier and bigger the loops are. And to me, I just think that that's one of the best things that we have about ranch rodeo.
Thanks, Victoria. And maybe you have something to say about ranch rodeo. Call in right now and share your thoughts. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. And, you know, a lot of people put their eyes on the rodeo circuit and they're just amazed at what some of these athletes can do. Sometimes people take it to the limits and sometimes there's injury. Justin, I wanted you to go ahead and comment on that about, you know, living through some of these injuries. I understand you also have a personal story to share.
As far as my injuries go, yeah. It comes with the sport, and I broke my back the first time when I was 17 years old, and then had a back surgery when I was 22, shoulder surgery when I was 24, and I actually need a back surgery and a hip surgery right now. But through training and intense training, I think I can maintain it for, I think I've got one more tour left in me. So anyways, it's a rough sport, no doubt.
And Justin, you know, some people talk about retirement and, you know, office jobs, and I know that might be different, but what does retirement look like when you're on the rodeo circuit?
Well, for me, yeah, it's funny you say that because I'm actually right in the middle of that. Through rodeo, you know, I got to have sponsors and stuff and shake a lot of hands, and actually I got hurt in the 10th round at the national finals this past year, and one of my sponsors, my truck sponsor who's been with me, has given me a great opportunity through his company and given me a great job and something to look forward to after my rodeo career. So, you know, it doesn't last forever. And ever since I bought a ranch when I was 20 and planned on having it paid off and having my cows set up for whenever I was done rodeoing, because it doesn't last forever and you've got to be prepared for that.
All right. And anything to add, Victoria, about when retirement comes around the corner?
Oh, well, that's a little different in my case. Like this weekend, I was roping with a guy who was in his 70s. You know, when my case, when we're roping, there really is no age limit, even in the ranch rodeos. I've been on teams with guys that are 60 plus, and they move as cattily as these young guys, you know, and it's pretty interesting to see. But I know the latest thing to keep me healthy, I've been going to an acupuncturist, and that's kind of a weird type of deal, but, you know, it's helped keep me healthy, and I've been looking for different ways to stay healthy because for the smaller frame I have, of course, I throw big loops and sometimes, you know, hurt my hip and my back and my shoulder. So looking for different ways to stay healthy has been, you know, a big trip, but I know this acupuncture thing has been helping me a ton. That's actually why I'm in McDermott today, is I'm at an appointment, right, you know, here in a few minutes.
Well, there is definitely, you know, a diversity in ages when it comes to, you know, the rodeo circuit and there. And Victoria, some people might also be wondering, you know, what's it like to be a woman on the rodeo circuit? Anything you want to share, or maybe even any myths you'd like to debunk? Go ahead, Victoria.
Well, it's a lot of fun, and I grew up around a bunch of these cowboys. Before the association actually started, I was married to a guy who did stock saddle bronc, which is like saddle bronc, except they use a regular working saddle, and they can hold on to their rope, and they have more, I'd say, trashier type horses that they have to cover. And so I met a bunch of these boys, if I didn't high school rodeo with them, you know, while they were riding broncs, and I filmed for them. So it was kind of, for me, it was an easier transition to go into this ranch rodeo deal than usual. And I'm not exactly real girly anyway, so I kind of have to hang tough with the boys a lot, and I travel with them sometimes. And it's, you know, it's different, but see, the thing about the ranch girls is a lot of them run their own ranches around here that are doing the ranch rodeo steer stopping. And they might run their own ranches, and some of them, I have to say, are a lot tougher than half of the guys out in that arena, you know, just because they have, you know, smaller frames. They have to do just as the same events as the guys do with the new women's association that they have going on. And it's a lot of physical work, but, you know, the girls over here, they're still, you know, pretty ranch wives, yet they're doing some pretty hard work here.
Thanks for that, Victoria. And I know when I take a look at, you know, who is on the rodeo circuit, it always seems like, you know, you're seeing just as many women as you are men who are out there and participating in rodeo. And Victoria, it's our pleasure to have you on the line with us, too. And as we, you know, think about rodeo culture, we know it dates back, you know, many generations in this country, as well as in Native America specifically. And I'm also wondering about, you know, just maybe how things might be changing. Justin, any comments on the changing world of the rate of rodeo?
Oh, you know, there's a big change in rodeo, and, you know, the purses are getting huge. And with these next few years, there's going to be an opportunity for young athletes to make a lot of money, and the sport is really evolving, so it's great, and I'm looking forward to it.
Now, is any of the direction that it's changing, is it getting commercialized or you know, getting more focused on anything else? What do you think, Justin?
I would just say your bigger events and, you know, mainstreaming your great cowboys and showing them on TV. It's just you know, it's all coming about. It's all going in the right direction. So it's going to be good.
All right. I want to go ahead and go to Randy now. Let's bring him back in. Cherokee cowboy and pro announcer Randy Taylor is with us. And Randy, your thoughts, too, on you know, rodeo culture or rodeo life and how maybe it's evolved over the years.
Well, I would like to go back to what Dub said from Mission there in the land of the Sechongu Lakota on the Rosebud Sioux Indian Reservation. You know, he's so proud of that grandchild of his for doing that, and he offered some encouragement for people to maintain the culture and the horse cultures or develop one. You know, the Seminole tribe has been a great example in Florida. A couple of decades ago, they started a program, and I hope that I might address not only people but some of the tribal and First Nations leaders that, and see what the Seminole tribe has done. Wow. They started building arenas in their different districts, kind of like the Forebears Casino was doing up there on the Fort Berthold, and started having ropings and rodeo schools and having rodeos sanctioned by the Indian National Finals Rodeo, which provides a great national finals at the end of the year at the South Point in Las Vegas. And people, as Victoria has mentioned, are young and old in the Indian National Finals Rodeo programs. We have the junior and the peewee barrel racing and calf riding up to the senior pro breakaway roping and the century-plus team roping, and it provides a great opportunity. I understand where Justin is, and they're in Muskogee, and the Region 8 of the INFR Tour Rodeos have grown back up. They kind of were really strong, and then they decreased a bit, and now I talked to Larry McCoy, the Region 8 president, the other day, and have the privilege of serving the Pawnee Days Rodeo, their Labor Day Friday and Saturday in Oklahoma. And he said, man, they're getting 200 entries, and they plan on having an INFR Tour Rodeo that weekend. This Eagle Butte is going to have one at the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe in South Dakota. So it's back on the move. And you mentioned how commercial, if it's commercial, well, we hope so, because these people like the Four Bears Casino and Wrangler and, you know, I mean, and Justin Butte, you know, that they're investing back into the sport, which is really investing back into the people and the culture. So that is my closing statement, is I just like to encourage our leaders to look this way for opportunities for your communities.
All right. Thanks, Randy. Let's go now to a caller in Warm Springs, Oregon, tuned in on KWSO. We have Donna on the line. Hello, Donna.
Hi. My name's Donna. I work at KWSO. I do a little deal called the Rodeo Roundup. I put results on from the rodeos, a list of upcoming rodeos. I try to get when the books are open, and I want to shout out to all the cowboys, especially there in Cheyenne, and Jason Smith. He's my first cousin. He's been wild horse racing for years and years.
And Donna, what does it mean to you to, you know, get ready to read out some of these scores or make the announcement on what's going on, you know, on the rodeo circuit? You know, what does it mean to you to see all of this activity?
I love it. I love it. I've been trying to get results. That's the hardest part, you know, from some of the places. I try to go like to the secretary, but it's tough to get results. But when I do get them, I like them. Sometimes the names are hard to figure out for me, but I try. You know, but I love cowboys. You know, that's my uncle, Buck Smith. He rodeoed for years and years, too. And I'm sure he was interviewed in Cheyenne. I think he was 75 in the wild horse race.
Wow. And Donna, if anybody wants to send you those results directly, where do they find you or get you that info?
At KWSO.
All right. Is there an email, Donna?
KWSTribes.org.
Okay, say that one more time, please.
KWSO at WSTribes.org.
All right, there you go. Well, Donna, thank you for your call there in Warm Springs. And we got a caller who called in, and maybe there's some folks out there who are wondering too. You know, we talk about imagery in Native America. A lot of times people, you know, are talking about cowboys and Indians. And so our caller was calling in, wanted to just, you know, hear some reactions too about saying cowboys and Indians don't mix. You know, why are natives trying to be cowboys? I'd like you guys to go ahead and comment on that. Let's go ahead and start with you, Justin. Go ahead.
I think it's just, it doesn't matter, you know, who you are. Being a cowboy is just, it's a passion within you. You know, it doesn't matter if you're an Indian or a cowboy, in my opinion.
All right. Thanks, Justin. Victoria, anything to add?
Yeah, sure. Some of our, you know, natives are great cowboys, that's for sure. And with our tribe, actually, when Fort McDermott was developed, they were given so many head of cattle, you know, to start their cattle business themselves by the BIA. So really, cowboy or Indians trying to be cowboys actually comes naturally because that's what they were expected to do here to make their own living. You know, so I think it'll just go hand in hand. I don't think it's such a big deal. And some of the greatest ropers I've ever seen are Native American.
All right. Thanks, Victoria. And Randy, anything else to conclude?
Yes, ma'am. I think it's being all about the best you can be. Wrangler allowed me to say long live cowboys and long live Indians. It's great to see people like Justin McDaniel, Cherokee Cowboy at the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, Dustin Bird of the Blackfoot Tribe up there in Browning, Montana, and, of course, Derek Begay, Aaron Sinogeny, Wrangler team Cassidy Dennison. They have broke through onto the big leagues and are taking their money frequently. It's so fun to see. Eric Rogers is another great Navajo cowboy that was at the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, and that is the Super Bowl of our sport. And when those guys nod their heads, it is certainly something to be proud of. Whether they're Navajo or Blackfoot or what, we're proud of them as individuals.
And, you know, there are, you know, those associations out there, too. Looks like this is the 40th anniversary of the Indian Nationals Final Rodeo. Looks like it's taken place early November in Las Vegas. We also have the Indian Junior Rodeo Association, the All Indian Rodeo Cowboys Association. So lots of places where people are being supported on the rodeo circuit. And, you know, man, the time goes by fast. We are already at the end of the hour today, and we're going to wrap up our discussion on rodeo culture. But if there are maybe even photos you'd like to share with us of people who are on the circuit, please do send them, post them on our Facebook, or send us an email at comments at nativeamericacalling.com. You can also tweet them to us. Our Twitter handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I want to thank our guests today, Randy Taylor, Justin McDaniel, and also Victoria Jackson, for sharing their thoughts. And of course, thanks to our callers too. Our senior producer is Monica Brain. Our associate producer is Andy Murphy. And Stephen Emmons is our engineer. Kaveh Movahed screened your calls today. And Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood, and you can learn more about our program. Also, sign up for our newsletter so you don't miss a beat at what we are planning. Visit us online, NativeAmericaCalling.com.
Sacred Wind Communications education nonprofit, Sacred Wind Community Connect, is a proud sponsor of this program. Sacred Wind provides high school and college scholarships and internet training to areas of the Navajo Nation and Pueblo of Laguna in New Mexico, where the parent company provides voice and broadband services. Sacred Wind believes that broadband technologies can reinforce Native cultures and offer other opportunities for self-determination. For more information, log on to sacredwindcommunications.com.
This program supported by the Peace Corps, the government agency sending thousands of volunteers to live and work alongside people in more than 60 countries worldwide. The Peace Corps will allow you to share your unique cultural heritage and promote world peace and friendship. We have rewarding work opportunities around the world in education, health, agriculture, environment, and business. It will change your life and the lives of others. More information available at peacecorps.gov. That's peace, CORPS.gov.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.